Bonjour.
Ani.
Welcome to Enweighing, our sound podcast. This is our podcast about raising children in Anishinaabemowin as second language learners.
I'm Mashkogapakwe, and this is my husband.
Ozawakijigoganu.
Here we will be talking about stories, challenges, triumphs, and tips as we share our experiences about our household of five. Beam it again.
Okay. That's my waist. Ani.
Bojo.
Ozawa nin daya.
Mashkogabut kwe. Dijna kaz, bint again, ozawa, ne nij gitsi man, ne nij gitsi mak, gibe madizu wok, orde en endayen, pigwi uzansien.
Giawak, ne nij gitsi mak. No smino gushe. Piku is answering on.
Pish and winja buyin.
Neen, mugget.
Piku is answering.
Deshkunzibin. Mugget chip on the Thames and ye. God die young, but the good answer young.
Gianawa, Nashime, Nashimeik, Nashimeyan.
Go in the OSC, Shime. Nij at the waymark. No watch sick as a wad dashneen star jin kaza mino aroxy kindash
magnash
they need to get see magna dialog the quasas we
Aunt Megwa and so and Sabonagus. Quasens, Rian. Me dash and Gusha got weed the mage and Abta and Dedeman or Abta and Osan. P. Nijwaswe and Sabonagis yan. Nos gi anch de madis or gija gi maja or de Ottawa pi bemadis yan or de Nova Scotia gaye wapenang. Midash gi endat nadwenang mage Six Nations Jinka de Jaganashi mong Gawin and Gashe gi Anishinaabe mosi meanwhile Gawin knows Anishinaabe mosi knows Sustambongi Soto Anishinaabe moen Manitoba, Winnipeg. Oswego nongom gawin gi Anishinaabe mo. We'll see.
Apish in Japan.
Nasap.
Apish gawin dayan. Kwezas bian.
Oh. Akowe. Mount Uniac, Mi'kmaq King, Wabanung, Nova Scotia, Bayshore, Halifax, Jawanung, Epingishmuk Jawanung, B2 Minising Gawin Gawin Beisho Beisho Gichigaming Endot Ingi Ingi Endayan Beisho Zibing Piquesensian Namigwechu Endam Gaye Gawin Indiasi Gamis Misayan Mage Shimea Mekwa no ski mat we did magea abta abta mamaan nishime brent gashwan jangso jangso bibonang gi bin de gay squa squa gi bin de gay on pee
Gondot, Gondotzit, Shime.
Gionendan, Edeming,
He was born?
Oh, Geget. Mm-hmm. Keep. Na sapkin, meanwhile, Gamiseyan, Nan. Nadwe nong, endat nongom, Brent. Gayonjida. The wind dog nug nishinabe mo walk na
going where going denoy maganag nishinabem si walk no kumis minam shomis what it ngashe nikea ngashe n onaida awe Miss me now, I'm sure Miss Ki Oneida, Ki Oneida Mook Kai Shwego Ki Ki Oneida Mook Twa Siwan Ni Johnson Ami Wenje Oneida Moss Oneida Moss Sik Gashe Nos going Schnabemsi. No, Mia. For those that don't know what we just said, we're talking about our family, and Emeline asked if I had two parents when I was a child, and I said, yep. Then she asked if I had any siblings, and I said that I had two sisters, or she asked if I had a younger sibling, and I said, no, I have two older sisters only.
And then I think, to recap, he said, and you, do you have any, or did you grow up with both of your parents? And I said, until about the age of 3, I grew up with both of my parents. My dad ended up moving to Ottawa, and my mom remarried. And did you ask me at that point, where did I grow up or where did I live?
Yeah, after you had said your dad is from Manitoba.
Yeah, so my dad's parents spoke, and he grew up with a little bit of the language, but the dialect that I've picked up over here is just so different that it's just been too hard for him to be able to try and decipher what I'm saying. And so then I think he had asked me, Ozawa had asked me, where did you grow up? And I was saying, like, I was born in Nova Scotia in Mount Uniac. Shout out to my Mount Uniac family. Just craving and, just really wanting to go back. But COVID has stopped us from doing so. And I had mentioned that I grew up inland, not near the ocean, and so I was saying, like, Mi'kmaq territory, and that we live near a river, and I was just, like, super grateful for that. And then I think he asked me, well, do you have any sisters or brothers? I think you asked me, do you have any younger siblings?
Mm.
And I just want to introduce my brother Brent, who is 9 years younger than me, did the cover art for our podcast, Enwaying, our sound. He was the one who I collaborated with to create that beautiful image. And we didn't grow up in the same household. We have different moms. And now he's doing all sorts of cool stuff. So this is just sort of a segue into our family, our immediate families, and that we grew up. I think that's when I asked you, did you grow up, or does any of your family speak?
Yeah, and then I said no, they didn't. And my mother is from Oneida, and so my grandparents on that side spoke Oneida, but they didn't teach their children, so that's why my mother doesn't speak Oneida. And then my dad's side, my grandpa doesn't speak, so no one from my dad's side, who's the Anishinaabe side, speaks. So yeah, that's part of our topic for today, is us speaking around our family and friends, and we'll get into that, and kind of our thoughts around the challenges.
How we haven't made it a barrier within our life. The fact that it is just immersion within our own household doesn't mean that we expect our family members to all of a sudden just acquire the language and start speaking it. And what we do in order to try and maintain an immersion household while we're still in public, with family, with friends, and maybe some of those things through trial and error can help any of you out there who is on the same journey, what has worked for us and what hasn't. I think that you had mentioned you wanted to kind of talk about pre-babies, where we were with our families, and kind of talking what we had expected, conversations we had had with them, and what we thought their predictions or their expectations would be with us.
So I think both of our families knew, like, that we wanted to only speak in the language to our children, and I didn't really know what their expectations were of that. I just knew of kind of our own expectations, which was just use the language all the time with them, with our kids. And there was no expectations from me, at least for my family, to learn how to speak. I mean, it would, if they wanted to, I would be in full support. But I didn't have any expectations of them learning to speak the language.
But did they expect you to be doing what you're doing? Like, did when you had those conversations, or when you began learning, or when we began dating, do you think that your family understood that was what we were going to do?
I think so.
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm wondering. I'm honestly here asking, yeah. Because for me, I feel like my parents always knew I had a niche for language. My mom was the one that supported me to take the program I took. I myself didn't know how far the language I would go and how far it would take me, but when I fell in love with it, when I just, like, fell in love with Anishinaabemowin, I just could not share that. Like, it's a part of my body, and that's what my children were going to be. So I knew that I wanted to find a partner who spoke the language. We've all heard this story before many times. That's how I found Ozawa. And I just don't know if people knew to the degree of how serious I was. I think they knew that I wanted to incorporate, and perhaps I wanted to have a bilingual household, but I don't think they understood how serious I was in just making it an Anishinaabemowin household, because there's just such a lack of that anywhere. Like, this is the only place we're going to get it, right? So I don't think my parents really understood the degree as to how little they were expecting. Like, I think in general, everyone was just expecting the communication ways to be very clear and easy. And it hasn't, it is very easy, but two languages adds more cars on the freeway. You know what I mean? It just adds more to the shuffle. And it's just like figuring out our own way of navigating. And it's been great. It's been fun. There's been no conflict at all. Our families have been completely supportive. It's just a first for everybody, I think. Would you agree?
Yeah. I've noticed, like, just because they're, I think with my own learning, I didn't speak in the language around my family, like, before having kids, and I didn't really share it with them that way on a consistent basis. And so I don't know if that kind of took them off guard or not when I, when we had kids, and then they just hear me speaking only in the language around, like, to her first two Zarai.
I think that's what it was like for my side, and probably for your side. Yeah, like, because it was the same for both of us, because no one had been in an immersion setting, let alone in an immersion Anishinaabemowin setting. And then they kind of just get pulled into the ride with it.
Yeah, like, I noticed my family using the language, like, just words here and there now that we speak it all the time. Like, they'll say bojo or bumapi, things like that.
Beesh.
So for me, I actually heard more Oneida growing up. I think because my grandparents were speakers and they had heard a little bit of Oneida, so I knew some Oneida words, like, with my Oneida family, like, hearing them talk and my mom using it, like, just very little words here and there. And then, I guess bringing in Anishinaabemowin is kind of a new thing for our community as well.
Yeah. This is like a first for a lot of people, not just, like, even, so I got married into Monty's community. Like, I married him, and so because I don't have a community and we live close by, I feel like that is the community I'm now a part of. I feel like I've slowly began relationships and beginning to feel home, finally. And in saying that, as I've gotten to know people, and we, before COVID, would go around with Zarai, from my perspective, the reactions that we received were all pretty, like, we weren't expecting this. Or, yeah, like, we just weren't expecting this. That's the only way I can really put it. And it's not a bad thing at all. And it's just one of those feelings, right? We are like, yeah, this is what we meant, and we're trying your best, and we hope that you're along here for supporting us.
Yeah, I think when we go out, well, even with our friends that don't know exactly what we're doing, or going out into the community, people are just kind of like, stop. I think, like, maybe, I think that's what I notice anyway, is that people kind of stop and listen, and they're like,
what language is that?
Or they know what language, but they're just like, why are they speaking? Not why, but like,
is that how that really sounds? Yeah. No, just kidding.
Like, they're actually speaking to their kids in the language? Like, is this, like, they're kind of caught off guard or surprised. And I don't know what it brings up to them. I was going to say maybe it brings up some other kind of emotions for people. But
like, I don't know what they're experiencing, but it's something that it's like you're in a bubble together when everyone kind of realizes it. Like, when you realize that they realize and everyone's kind of like looking at each other, then it's hard to keep pushing forward and doing it because you're distracted and you're feeling like, oh God, am I doing the right thing right now? And they're probably going through a completely different process than us. And I just let that and allow that to be. But it's just like a twilight moment, like a twilight zone moment where you're like, what are we all experiencing at the moment? What's happening? And where do we go? Like, how do we get back into normal? I don't know what that is. And that's okay. That's okay for me. But yeah, so even as a community, in a sense, and in a community in London or in a community in the city, because we have Indigenous communities within our cities, it's just all such a new feeling, new process.
And for me, like, around family and friends, like, sometimes I'll forget that they don't know the language,
mm-hmm.
and I'm talking to our kids, and I'll think that they know what mm-hmm. we said to them,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll realize that they didn't, and then I'll have to translate for them what I said. So it's not like a huge barrier, but it's just kind of like a little anecdote. Like, I just forget that.
You forget how much you know.
Yeah. Like, I think everyone knows what I know or gets the gist of what I know. When people don't have any idea.
I'm with you, but, like, I'm with you in, oh my goodness, this is funny, because I'm with you, because I know exactly what you mean, but I'm also in the other boat, because you know so much more than me, so it's funny. It's just such a wild ride. I'm sorry for all the, it's just really funny. Because I experience the same thing where I'm like, they know what I'm saying. Like, you can hear it in the tone of my voice, you know, like, you understand, like, and then you realize, no, like, there was a time I had no idea when people would say, we sinada, and I was like, what are you guys saying? And they're like, we're saying, let's sit at the table and eat. And I'm like, how was that, you know? And I have to go back to that place, right? So we're talking about immediate family right now, mostly, I think. And I've just noticed, like, by no means do we have any expectations of them learning the language. That was not the point. I mean, if they want to, we're both supportive of that. But it was us and our journey and our children's journey. But I have noticed along the way, like you said, Monty, your family using it more. So my mom, I know that she uses it a lot, as much as she can. And same with my dad. Sorry?
Yeah, I noticed your dad uses what he knows or what he remembers.
Yeah, like, he started using it a lot more. And I think it's, like, slowly kind of, very slowly unlocking some new sounds and things that he's heard, which is kind of cool. And so that's just been kind of nice, because I'm seeing it trickle down, and it's not trickling down because they want to learn the language and carry on with, it's more, they want to support our children as they learn, and they, I don't want to get emotional. You go.
I'll just say for us too, when we're in the community or around our family, like, we don't break into English, like, just because we're around other people that don't know it, and we've kind of kept to that. So when we're in the community, or if we're in around London or around people where we're talking to them, we'll talk to them in English, and then we'll talk to our kids in the language. Set the same around our friends. And so we maintain that kind of, we're staying in the language with our kids, so they know that we're going to speak to them in the language. And I think there's a bit of an understanding for Zadai. She's starting to see that there's a different way of speaking, but I don't think before she noticed, like, okay, we're now speaking English, okay, now we're speaking Anishinaabemowin, I think for her it was just all one way of communication, and she just understood us when we would talk to her, and then probably understood when we would talk to other people in English. But yeah, we don't, whenever we're in public, we don't break into English. We'll translate for people, but if we need to, but we don't speak English to them. And same with in public too. Like we were somewhere in public and I was talking to Zada in the language, and I was kind of like, I forget what I was telling her, but it was like some kind of like a parenting thing, like teaching her something or telling her about something. And I was, in my mind, I was thinking, oh, this person, I wonder if this person's like judging me on my parenting skills. Saying they can't understand Anishinaabe one, so they don't know, like, they're not judging my parenting skills because they don't know what I'm saying.
Sorry, it's just so funny. it reminded me, I was gonna say, hey, I had to cut off my mic while I work through my emotions there on that last bit, how you told that story. But yeah, for Zada, I feel like it's kind of more of a flipped switch. Before, it would just go on and off, and now she's a little bit more aware that there's two different languages and that she can switch back and forth, and that she can technically choose which one she speaks in. And so sometimes we're left saying like, nope, put that in Anishinaabe Moyen, please. Because she's now back, well, she was in daycare. It was open for a couple of weeks there, which was a lifesaver for a bit, just to get her to be able to socialize again. But in saying that, so we depend on our English families to, like, before daycare and then through COVID, we depended on our families via Zoom or however to supply that English for our children, since they're only getting Anishinaabe Moyen in the home. So there's TV, radio, people in the entire world, signs, restaurants, everything you can imagine in English, because we live in an English-dominant country. So we weren't worried about the kids learning English. My kids' English is probably better than their, well, it's probably equal right now, right? But in saying that, we looked to them for that guidance. So I also feel like, for instance, my mom, when my daughter has the chance to talk or visit with my mother, I know that she's going to get really good English. Not that it matters, but she can sit with her and help her with the sounds. Ugh, why am I so emotional? Which for me is just like, I can't sit with her in English and go through the sounds with her. So it just makes me feel like I'm supported in that way as well, because all the things that I thought I would be doing in English, I'm not. And even though I don't want to be doing it in English, I feel like I'm like not, like that's some slack I should be picking up. Like I should still be practicing those sounds with her, but we don't have them in Anishinaabe when F's and THs and, or, you know, things like this, right? So
I think I said this before too. I think about it a little bit differently. I'm not really, I mean, it's good she's getting good English spoken around her, and but I think about like the English terminology of like res slang and like how like gets cute and stuff to be if they knew how to say, oh, heck, that's deadly, or heck, you're crazy, like things like that. Like sometimes, because sometimes I want to say that to her, like things like that, and teach her how to say that, but I'm just like, no, I can't. I don't want to
open Pandora's box.
Yeah, I just want to keep the English out, and somehow I'll have to say that in the language. So do we want to get into kind of being around fluent speakers? Or is there something else you wanted to?
Did you want to talk about extended family and friends for a bit before we get into that? Just in the sense of, like, we have friends that are language speakers that we've talked about before, you know, that we can, I mean, this is pre-COVID or working around COVID. I don't want to get into that at the moment, but, you know, visiting, however, online in the language with Zadai's friends, like, you know, other families that are doing this, meeting in the language. But then we have a lot of friends also who aren't fluent in the language, or who aren't high proficient, or who don't share that. And it's, I think we did kind of already touch on this, but what we end up doing is really just doing a double translate. So especially when I'm around kids, like with Zada at the park, or if there's like a, or daycare, like, you know, when you're around someone else's children who don't speak Anishinaabem, when, and you know that they have no idea what's going on. And so I'm telling Zada, like, Kedan Bojo, like, say hello, Kedan Ani. And so then she says Ani, and I realize, frig, like, this child doesn't know what Zada's saying. So then I have to say, Kedan hello. And it just sounds so weird, and it's just so strange, but it's, like, how do you navigate that on the playground, right? Like, because you want your children to learn how to socialize, and that child doesn't speak Anishinaabemowin, right? So I'm left being like, okay, like, I'll say it in the language, like, Nishkeosh, Tatahagi, Maba Kwezensia, Nepki Kwagim, Bibgoyan, like, look, wow, she has a rainbow t-shirt. And I'm literally doing this so that that little girl who I'm talking about knows I'm not saying like a bunch of things, but I'm trying to get them to, it's like a very strange dance to dance, but it's what I do because I want to maintain, okay, Zada, she's hearing me speak Anishinaabemowin first, but I'm also realizing that there's somebody else in the space with me, and I want them to know that, like, we're communicating with them, we're having a regular human interaction here. And I want Zada to learn how to do that as well, right? I don't know, like, when we visited one of your friends, how you kind of, like, worked around.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing when we visited one of my friends who's got a daughter as well. She's a year older than Zada, and so she's speaking English and understanding everything in English, and then Zada at the time didn't understand as much English, and so it was like translating for Zada and then saying something to Zada in the language and then translating what I said just for my buddy's daughter to understand when they were playing together. And then, yeah, because that was the only time, like, I didn't translate what I was saying to her, to my buddy, like, if we were just hanging out, but if the two girls were playing mm-hmm. together, then I would translate just so that
she knows
there was an understanding.
Yeah, yeah. And then also with extended family, like, pre-COVID, we always had family reunions or, like, big family get-togethers at your house.
My parents' house, yeah.
And then on my side, my mother's side, I have some family who have been just like super supportive, and when they write me letters, we do, you know, snail mail. Still, I still practice that with all of my family. And they write to Zaudai and my son in Anishinaabemowin, and so I've sent her a dictionary so that she can write to them a little bit easier. And never ever would I have bet money on that ever happening in my lifetime, ever. Not because of like who anybody is, but just because like I just never thought in our time it would be that accessible or that tangible or that like I could be that supported. So that's just been super wonderful for the kids, in that sense that it's like kind of trickled down that far, just through love, like just through family, just through wanting to connect, wanting to stay connected. I just love it. Anyways, I won't get too mushy because I know how much you love when I get like that. Maybe that's a good segment into passing down the language, trickling down. The reason why it hasn't been passed on.
Yeah, so I guess I'll just mention part of, like I said, with my mom's side, how her parents didn't pass down the language because of residential school and Western society, how it's kind of taken over and looks upon other indigenous languages and looks down upon it as not useful and things like that. And so that's kind of, you know, among a spectrum of those reasons, that's why the language wasn't passed down. And I found that it's somewhat difficult or just different for fluent speakers to speak in the language to children. For me, like even for me, sometimes I'll have fluent speakers that I'll only respond to them in the language, but they'll respond to me in English, even though I know that they're fluent because they're teachers somewhere or I've heard them speak somewhere. And there's kind of something there, but there's also those other speakers that a lot of fluent speakers where if they hear somebody speaking to them, then they'll switch and they'll just stay in the language with me. And I found that it, for some reason, changes when it's little kids or babies or kids and they want to use English. And we've found that in different scenarios that fluent speakers will sometimes speak in English to them, and we try and remind them to use the language. But yeah, so there's that kind of, I don't know if it's a challenge or a barrier sometimes when we're trying to get our kids to be around fluent speakers. I know that there's also awesome fluent speakers, like when we have an Ashkenishnabemjik who will just stay in the language and will just, like what I think we said before, that's where, like when Zaudai was there, like everyone was only speaking to her in the language, and that was awesome. I think too, there's fluent speakers, like when we have gone to a conference, it's like they're surprised as well. Like these people are speaking the language to their child. I think you have experience with that too, like when speakers were like, wow, this person's only speaking to their baby in the language, like, because it's not seen or heard, really. Like, there's a few people that we know that are doing it, but it's not, like, out there with a large group of people speaking to their kids in the language.
It would start out like me walking by with the baby stroller and a speaker saying something to me, like someone that I know, and then maybe saying something to Zaudai as a baby, and or as a toddler, and me responding to her and responding back to them, and then them realizing, oh, like, she responded, I'm gonna ask her another question in the language, and, you know, like, and then it's, well, I've noticed she's speaking the language. I wonder if she uses it with her baby, because she's speaking back to me. She should be speaking with her baby. Not all people, but some. I feel like this is the narrative happening. And so then they'll ask me, like, you know, oh, do you use the language with your daughter and or you're with your son? And I'll say, yeah, this is all I speak. I know I'm not a great speaker yet, but we're getting there. And then we usually continue on the conversation, and usually it's met with that same little Twilight Zone bubble. It doesn't usually, like, it goes smoothly, and there's nothing bad. It's a really positive, rewarding experience, but it's usually that, you know, I'm walking along and I say something, and then they ask me, and then they're like, what? So then I look at the baby, and they start speaking to the baby, and then they look at me, and I'm like, yeah, like, just keep going. And then they're kind of like, what? You really, like, you know, it's kind of this, you really want me to keep going? And I'm like, yeah. And not all speakers are like that, and not all people I meet by who have proficiency are like that. But that conferences that in general, especially in Anishinaabe and Muintake, that has been the general sense when I've run into people, especially when they realize as she got older and she was responding, they were like, oh, like, she's not just running around as this mother speaks. She's actually responding and understanding. Even though I know sometimes I'm butchering it.
So, yeah, we probably have, like, we have friends that are raising their kids in the language, and hopefully we can get them on the podcast too as guests, and we'll have to figure that out for the future. But they probably have similar stories as well to us, and because everyone's kind of in the same.
I mean, you do pass situation by those people, and they ask you, and then when they hear your Anishinaabe, when they go, like, oh, okay, like, okay, you're, and they don't agree with it, like, well, you don't know, like, you shouldn't be, there, you do come across that as well, but yeah. We're just not going there today.
Yeah. Well, there's, like, even among speakers and teachers of the language, there's a whole spectrum of attitudes and
personalities
and
learning approaches
and what their expectations are
and regular human behavior and politics between any group anywhere in the world, no matter what race or anything you are. Like when I spoke in the first podcast about learning Anishinaabe Mwin and learning German, how I'm deciphering what is just language learning and what is Anishinaabe Mwin and only related to Anishinaabe Mwin. And one thing is that, like, there's always politics. It's never one just big, happy family, because you have personalities from all different sides, from all different trainings of life. So one thing that you have to remember and always set aside is that you want it to be, you mentioned this the other day in the car, Ozawa, that you want it to be this big, happy family where everyone's loving and revitalizing the language, and human behavior just doesn't allow it. It's like one of the flaws of trying to do this as humans, with everything on top of we have to fight through colonialism and whatnot. But I think you were kind of talking about that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Where are we at, babe?
47 minutes.
Right. Something else I wanted to mention about our family and friends that we do in our house when we have friends and family over. I have, or that I've sent even over to my mom's house. I have books that are in English and I have books that are in Anishinaabe Mwin. I never send Anishinaabe Mwin books with anybody because I don't expect them to read it. In the beginning, I sent one or two that were translated in English so that, I would send, like, me speaking the story and on an audio file and then have my mom read it in English. We recently found, like, one or two books that have, like, one or two words in them that my mom knows, so she can read those. But we really just, we have the English books to set aside for those family members that come over and can do the English. And then we have, and then we keep them out and we translate them on the spot with our kids. And then we also have like Anishinaabemowin books that we just only use when we're with the kids. So one of our strategies is, sending those English books with people who can read them. And so that they're getting to read and do practice doing that or listening to stories, which I think is a very important part of childhood, no matter what kind of medium, whether it is a book or a scroll or whatever. If it's, I think oral is just as good, but storytelling is how we pass down knowledge as Anishinaabeg. And I just know it's just super important. So that was just one of the steps that we used.
I think that from what people are seeing now is more people speaking, raising children in the language. And it's kind of giving inspiration to people and it's getting more out there. Like a few years ago, it was a new thing. To even hear about, someone's raising their kid in the language, is that even real? But now that it's kind of getting more out there, more people are taking notice of it, more people are hearing about it, and so, like, those speakers that might have been hesitant to talk to our kids, for example, now they understand and they're trying to only speak in the language to them, or when we see them, or... more people are getting noticed for speaking to their kids in the language.
Well, I think there's like a big, I don't know, but I feel like there's got to be a big part about trust and betrayal and protection of the language. And there's just been so much betrayal done on our ancestors and on our elders and on our language carriers that I feel like to just always give. We know as language teachers, as language knowledge holders, little knowledge, a lot of knowledge, that when people are constantly asking from you and asking little bits, it can get really tediously exhausting because little people are asking just all the time for like, me, how do you say that? How do you say this?
And not getting anywhere, not becoming fluent.
Yeah.
Not sharing.
Not taking it seriously, tokenizing or not just wanting it, not compensating your time. So we as teachers can empathize with elders in that sense of years and years of little bits. Why would I, there's got to be a sense of that. And when they see something starting to happen, if it were me, I would be like, oh, yes, but don't hold my breath, right? Yes. But then as, like, the surge grew, as social media platforms grew and more people became connected and resources grew, I feel like more families are beginning to do this and the demand that they're seeing is greater and it's beginning to shift that narrative of they really do need me to use the language. This isn't just a translate my name. What does this mean? What would this mean? What is my... How do I say this is my whatever? They really are taking this seriously and I'm not wasting my time. And I feel like maybe that is a bit of it because if it were me, that's how I'd be feeling. And I don't know how, I can't speak for anybody, but.
Yeah, and I think the more people, like more young people see other young people doing it, it kind of inspires them that, there's somebody that can do it. There's somebody out there that's become a speaker and actually teaching their kids.
Yeah, you made me cry again. Just because, like, I think it's important that I just, like, be authentic in this when I tell the story. And that's that, like, when we... Well, I can't remember exactly who, if it was Justin Musquonquit or who exactly was putting on the immersion weekend that weekend in Serpent River. Do you remember? Garden River. Oh, yeah, Serpent River, right? Or Garden River. Anyways. It was a couple of years ago, and Monty and I had just started dating, and we went up for the weekend. It was just a small group of people. There were speakers there.
Oh, Christy Belcourt.
Yeah, that one.
Anishinaabemowin Week 1.
Okay, yeah, that's what it was. Sorry, yeah. I just remember being there with them. And, that was, It was the first time I received, like, a miguan, because a miguan. I'm just going to say that, because I don't need to share. If anyone who doesn't know what that means, and they don't need to right now. Because they were watching, there's a young couple there, and now they're, like, amazing speakers, too. So shout out to you guys if you're listening. I know who you are. And they gifted Ozawa and I something. And they said it was just because, like, they saw us as, like, leaders or role models in some way doing something good. And it was just the first time I felt acknowledged as a young person from another young person that I was doing the right thing. So I'm sorry to take you guys on this, like, really teary journey or whatever, but like, just to know now that, like, they're doing what they're doing, and to know that at one point, like, it meant something to somebody, and it just, like, yeah, those are special times.
So, for us, you know, we have our role models as well, and we hope that this, what we share in this podcast, can kind of help spread it even more, the message of how important we feel the language is, and hopefully other people will feel the same and want to raise their kids in the language.
Woo! Water is super good. I'm letting the tears flow today. Thank you so much for walking with us as we shared some of these stories. This was a deep one. I thought it might be a little lighter than it was, but that's okay. This is a whole part of this journey. It's a roller coaster. There's lots of up and downs and lots of emotions. And I just think that this is a safe space for everyone to authentically feel all the things that are going to arise. So I just, like, welcome you in joining us in that process, and say chimigwech for joining us today. And I hope in some way, in some spirit, in some light, we've spread some inspiration in a way just by doing what we're doing. So, chimigwech,
gigwa anchit ken, nishna bamyan.
Jin nishna bamyan. Ah, pamapi.
Pamapi. Okay. That's my waist.